Well, I want to take the opportunity to wish all of you that are grandparents a happy Grandparents Day. It's Grandparents Day today, whether you knew that or not. We often lift up Father's Day and Mother's Day and tend to kind of skip over Grandparents Day. So I want to make sure we don't do that this year. So I want to begin by telling you a story about a grandpa. And one day, this grandpa by the name of Henry sat in a park with another old man friend of his. And Henry discovered that his friend, who was 75 years old, had just married a 25-year-old woman. Now, you can go, whatever you need to right there. But anyway, Grandpa Henry was very amazed by this. And he said to his pal, he said, "Well, she must be very beautiful." And the man said, "No, not really." Well, then Grandpa Henry looked at him again after he thought a little bit, and he said, "Well, she must be a great cook or a wonderful housekeeper." "No, she's not much for that either." So Grandpa Henry sat there a little while longer, and he thought, you know, well, to himself, what am I going to say? So he decided, you know, he was going to ask them the next question. And that question was, "Well, then why did you marry her?" The 75-year-old grandpa yawned and he said, "Because she can drive at night." National Grandparents Day originated in West Virginia. It was instituted by a woman by the name of Marion McQuaid and her husband Joe. And they were parents of 15 children, grandparents of 40 grandchildren, and great-grandparents of 8. So it's no wonder that they thought it was important to have a day set aside to recognize grandparents. So on August 3rd, 1978, after a 5-year campaign, Mrs. McQuaid pushed legislation that Congress passed proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day to be Grandparents' Day. Yay. Yes. Yay. Thank you for that response. It's good to have a response. Thank you so much. And September was chosen because it was in the autumn season. And so many grandparents, of course, considered to be in the autumn of their lives. And President Jimmy Carter signed that into a proclamation declaring it to be so. I think every grandparent can testify that if someone would have just told them that grandchildren were so much fun, the choice would have been made to have them first. I can identify with this. It's fun to spoil them, to sugar them up, and send them home. Most grandparents have a special place in their hearts for their grandchildren. That's no different for Patty and me. We adore our 3 grandsons, Oliver, Montgomery, and Reed. Someone has said that my grandkids are grand when they come and they're grand when they go. But isn't grandparenting grand as we think about it? Better yet, aren't they a ball of fun? Aren't they exciting? They're inquisitive little minds. They're insightful. They're entertaining with the words they come up with. And yes, they are exhausting. There's a reason that God gave children to young people. I want to share with you some facts now about grandparents and grandparenting. There are about 67 million grandparents in the United States as of last year in 2023, and about 1.5 billion grandparents, billion with a B, worldwide, and that number will increase to 2.1 billion in 2050. The average age of a grandparent is 67 years old. The average age of people becoming grandparents for the very first time is 50. The average of Americans 45 to 69 years old, 67, roughly one-third, are grandparents. About 75,000 Americans become grandparents each month. And about 8%, this one here really hits, about 8% of all children in the United States, nearly 5.8 million, live with their grandparents, according to the United States Census Bureau. Well, as a result of those facts and a result of this being a special day, I think grandparents deserve some honor. I think grandparents deserve some praise and a good old pat on the back. Some kids, including myself, received some of the best encouragement and support they ever could have from a grandparent. It meant the world to me growing up that my grandparents were so supportive of me. Most grandparents are good to their grandchildren. Some of them are very good. So that leads us to this morning's scripture message that comes to us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 6, which reads, "Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their grandchildren." Or another version says it this way, "Grandchildren are the crown of the old, and the glory of children is their parents." In other words, grandchildren are like wearing a crown. They're valuable. They're important. They're something we like to show off. No one draws quicker than an old man pulling out his wallet to show pictures of his grandchildren, or a grandmother drawing a wallet from her purse or clutch to be able to show pictures of their pride, of her pride and joy. What a picture this scripture has given us, the wisdom of Solomon, and the picture that it has given to us for the good of family. It's a very short scripture, but as I've dealt with it this last week and thought about it, there's really a lot to unpack here. Think about it. Within this short verse, children's children are crown of the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Within that scripture are three generations represented. There's grandparents, their children, and their grandparents. And all of us fit into this spectrum in some sense, do we not? We are all children with parents. We are all grandchildren. Some of us are parents of grandchildren, of children, rather, and some are grandparents with grandchildren. So all of us, at some way or shape or form, fit into that mold which is talked about by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. So it's a great picture. And it was a picture that was designed by God, and that through Solomon, God described what this family would look like and what the meaning that they would have. God designed our lives and so that we could honor our parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, etc., etc. God designed the family in this way, and all of us fit into it. God also designed our families so that he can be glorified through them, and that as we age, we can glorify God through our families, through our children, and through our children's children, our grandchildren. I want to encourage you this morning to pray for grandparents. I want to encourage you this morning to pray for your children. And I want to encourage you this morning to pray for your grandchildren, to honor them, and to thank God for them. The Bible speaks a great deal about parental and grandparental responsibilities. It's a great responsibility. It's also a great joy to be a grandfather. For these last 7 years of my life, it's been a lot of fun and a lot of joy. And yes, some heartaches along the way, but mostly a lot of fun. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we are to share our faith from generation to generation. Psalm 145, verse 4 reads as follows, "One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." This is the way that God designed the family. God designed and set up the family that the fir- that generation, the older generation, would share their faith with their children. And then in turn, those children would share it with the next generation. Each generation is to pass along the knowledge of God to the next. I see this in churches over the years where I've pastored. Many generations recognized within the congregation. I knew the grandparents and the parents and then got to know the grandchildren. And as I've aged and I've looked back on some of those congregations, now those children are having their children and they're raising them up in the knowledge of Jesus as Savior and all things that God would have them to learn. We must realize when we think about the book of Proverbs that the book of Proverbs is always trying to get us to see value, to see the value that is in front of us, and that it is trying to get us not to be fooled by the ways in which this world wants you to live. Solomon is saying in this passage of Scripture that when you get old, it's not your position, it's not your status, it's not your pile of money, it's not your prestige, or anything like these things that will matter. They will not be your crowning achievement. But instead, Solomon in this proverb is trying to tell us and get us to recognize that your children will be that crown upon your head, that your children's children, your grandchildren, will be that crown upon your head. And of course, we think of a crown and we look at pictures of kings and queens and royalty all around the world that wear crowns that are fitted with great valuable jewels. This is not what we're talking about. Don't try and build your life around those things of this world, your position or your business or your hobby and those kinds of things, and in turn ignoring your very children that are before you. For when you get old, it will be your children and how they are living and whatever they want, whether or not they want to have anything to do with you, that will determine if you think your life has been worth anything. That is to say that we must realize that if we are to wear that crown, we must invest. We must spend time. We must teach and share the Word of God with our children and our grandchildren and help them to know the love of God. Children should be proud of how their parents act. Children should be proud of how their parents behave on a daily basis. And then how they are grateful for their parents for bringing them up. You know, as I look back on my life, I didn't get into a lot of trouble. I got into a little bit of trouble. It was still trouble. But I could have got into a lot worse trouble had it not been for my parents, who were always there, always looking over my shoulder, always seemed to know what was going on. They invested. My grandparents were the same way. It's important that we know. As I said, I want you to notice that in this passage of Scripture, Solomon uses the word crown, that your children's children are a crown, and that they will be the crown of the aged, that is, the old people, the grandparents, that this particular section does not use, but children's children, indicating grandparents. And at this time, you know, that in biblical times, people didn't live to be as old as we are. So it was really something if you got to see your grandchildren. Whereas people lived to be 30 or so. Well, based on the statistics that I just shared with you, many people would never ever meet their grandchildren. Never ever see them. In Hebrew, this word crown means wealth, or is a designation of honor and importance. What I want you to see, and what I think this scripture really is indicating here, is the importance of relationships. Relationships. Relationships with God, relationships between a parent and their children and their grandchildren, relations between a parent and their parents and their own children, and relation between children, their parents, and their grandchildren. the relationships. And you know what? It's common that these relationships are missed in this life. And it's sad. And it's why the world is in such a way as it is today. Solomon is saying that we have an amazing setup. Grandparents, parents, and children. And when you are old, you will want to have those relationships. There's nothing like a grandchild running into the door of your home, running through the door of your home, and greeting you with a hug, and a big hug at that, jumping up into your arms just like your children used to do. Solomon indicates that these relationships are very important. And as your kids are growing up, they all want to brag about their parents. You know, my dad's stronger than your dad. My mom can bake better than your mom. Those kind of things. But we often overlap these things. Whereas older, we want to have that relationship with their children. When we're younger, we're busy building up our lives, working on our careers. We're busy in the world. And we miss out on those relationships that we could have had with our children. And so grandparenting gives us an opportunity to kind of have a fresh start, to look at what we missed out on the first go-around, to correct some mistakes that we made, to invest the time and the energy that we may not have had when we were younger, when we were trying to build up our fortunes and build our homes and have a good job and a roof over our heads and food on the table. But I want to encourage us this morning, as young parents and as children who are going to be parents and grandchildren, don't be so busy with the world stuff that you miss connecting with people. You'll regret it. You will regret it. When parents are most interested in their children, then children usually become busy or they're bitter. Someone has said very clearly, I think, very well, that there's a reason that grandparents and grandchildren have such a great relationship with each other. They both share a common enemy. You get what I'm saying, right? I think there's some truth to that matter. I know whenever I would get in trouble, all I had to do was run to my grandma, and she'd take care of me. She'd saved me from several spankings through the years. I can still hear her voice talking to my dad. Now, Tom, he didn't deserve that. It wasn't that bad. Probably deserved it, Grandma. But anyway, God, through Solomon's perspective, insightful perspective here, is trying to get us to be wise like him, to make wise choices, to deepen and preserve the relationships that we have. So I want to encourage you this morning to take the time, to spend as much time as you can. We're not always going to get to spend every waking moment with our children or grandchildren. And as we look back and know that some of us around here know that our parents are no longer here on this earth, they're in heaven. Some of us have had children that have passed away and grandchildren. We wish for that time back. We wish things could be different, that we would have spent more time. But those aren't always the cases. But we can change that by spending time with the people that we have around us now. We can pay it forward. I was just texting a friend last night about a common friend that we had, someone that was a mentor in both of our lives, and he's gone now. And he said, I wish I could have some do-overs. Yeah, don't we all wish that we could have some do-overs? And we both agreed that the best thing that we could do is pay it forward now, to share it with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, and make the sacrifices necessary so that they can come to know Jesus and that they can see Jesus in our activities, not only in our words, but the way that we act and the way that we treat one another. So I encourage you to make that sacrifice. Invest in what is radically important, and that is your family. That is your friends, your coworkers, the people. Grandparenting is fun, to be sure. But it's more than just babysitting. It's more than just providing a date night so your kids can go out, which is important. But it's an opportunity to influence. It's an opportunity to influence your grandchildren, to influence your children in the things of God. It's an occasion to help them see God's hand in creation. There was a grandma, let's just call her Bessie. Isn't that a great grandma name? Bessie. And Bessie was at home, and she was watching over one of her three-year-old granddaughters that day, and they were out on the front porch swing. And Bessie wondered just how much her three-year-old granddaughter had been learning in preschool that year. And so while they were sitting on the porch swing together, Bessie had picked up a box of crayons, and she began to test to see if her granddaughter had learned her colors yet. And one by one, Grandma Bessie pulled out the crayons out of the box, and she would ask her granddaughter, "What color is this?" And her granddaughter would answer correctly. She'd pull out another crayon, and she'd say, "What color is this?" And her granddaughter would once again answer correctly. And this continued for some time. And finally, the little girl got up off of the swing that she had been sitting on next to her grandmother, and she looked over her shoulder, and she said to Grandma, "I think you should figure out some of these for yourself." Our grandchildren may not always know what we're trying to teach them, and not always understand what we are trying to accomplish as we speak to them and as we train them. But what are the investments that you need to make today? We still have time. What are the investments that you need to make in your children and your grandchildren today to deepen those relationships, to teach them about God's love, to let them know that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, and that he's always going to be there for them? It might be time doing something with them that fascinates them, something that is totally not anything that you would be invested in at all, but because your grandchild or because your child is invested in it, it then becomes important to you. You know, you may not be a grandparent. Maybe you're here today and you haven't had that privilege yet. But you can encourage your neighbor's children. I read a story this week about a neighbor couple, an older couple who didn't have grandchildren that lived close to them, but their neighbors had a child go to kindergarten. And they befriended them through the years and watched those children and taught those children. And when those children went to school, these neighbors were invested in that day, and it was an important day in their lives. You can encourage your neighbor's children. You can encourage your coworkers' children. You can live an exemplary life filled with devotion and service so that these children and grandchildren can see in you. Look for those opportunities. Don't wait for them to come and find you. Look for them to teach. And maybe as you're doing that, you might just brush up on some of your crayon colors as well. Amen.